Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Boom goes the dynamite on the Maple Leaf season. What's going on? It's your guy James from Offside. Ladies and gentlemen, not the results we wanted last night, I know, but pump the brakes for a moment. Let's calmly reflect on what was this series for the Toronto Maple Leafs and realize this team actually did something we've accused them of not being able to do for years. Show some heart, show some resilience, and show some show up. And it may not be the guys that you're used to seeing or talking about, and we will get to those guys, trust me, in just a few moments. But this team forced a game seven when everyone and their dog thought this team was out of it, thought they were done, thought they were no more, thought they could kiss their arses goodbye, and they won game five, game six, and they gave us that glimmer of hope for game number seven, where we all thought maybe this might be something that the Toronto Maple Leafs could pull off and do. And just like my Mac here, they fell apart the last minute. I look at this Toronto Maple Leafs team and say, okay, who were the passengers here in this series? Who were the guys that didn't show up? And if you want to point a finger and say, well, William Nylander did a lot of the heavy lifting for this squad, even though he missed a few games with migraines and not being able to physically see, apparently. And then there's the mystery ailments that we will learn about this week, specifically tomorrow, about Austin Matthews and what went wrong with him. For me, I look at these guys and I say, who are the ones that caused me the most grief this series? I'm looking at a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi at one primary point. I know that he was a shift disturber, got in the face of people, and we all loved the big hits he threw, but you do need to bang in a couple of points and make yourself noticeable, a la Mr. Max Domi. Max Domi, for me, was not a passenger in this series at all. But then I look at a guy like Mitch Marner, and I see him infighting with his own teammates on the bench, being told that this isn't effing junior. Stop crying. It's true. Stop crying. Show up. Do what you're good at. Show us what you're good at. And I'll tell you right now, this Maple Leaf team couldn't show us what they were good at on the power play. They just weren't able to do it. And this team being lauded saying our power play will be our weapon. Well, where's that weapon when it was needed the most here in the playoffs? It was not available to them. They were not able to pull the trigger. They were not able to score the key goals. They were not able to do the things they did in the regular season because time and space dries up. But also, they were not able to score the goals on the power play because they had a reluctant coach, in my opinion, to put the right guys who are going. If you're going to have guys that are able to bang things in, look at February when this team was clicking on the power play. A guy named Tyler Bertuzzi was a part of that power play and getting it done. So for me, I'm looking at it and saying, why is Tyler Bertuzzi, in your most important games of the season, not the go-to guy? Why is he not? I don't know. I don't know why Sheldon Keefe didn't decide to put him on that first unit. I don't know why certain things did not happen with this team the way they should have happened with a seasoned coach. And we will talk about Keefe. Oh, yes, we will. But to keep talking about this power play, there are things you need to do in the playoffs that you don't do in the regular season. They're greasy, dirty, grimy goals. And unfortunately, the finesse does not work. the zipping it around and all that stuff. You don't have that extra half second or split second to make a move and do what you usually do in the regular season. No, no, no. Those things do not come. You have to be quick, get shots on net, and have guys down low that bang in the puck. And a guy like Bertuzzi would be perfect on that first unit, but that was not utilized that way. And now you look at this team who is now on the outside yet again, looking in because of their power play really not being at the rate we're expecting it to be. And then a lot of people I saw online talking about how the refs, oh, the refs this and oh, the refs that. Guys, it doesn't matter. You could get 1,000 power plays out of these referees. If you are not scoring goals on those power plays during those key times of the game, what does it matter if the ref's arm goes up or not? Unless the Leafs are in the lead and it's allowing you to click time off the clock, that is the only thing I can think of. But they were not scoring on the power play. So what does it matter if a ref arm is in the air if you can't put the puck in the net during that two-minute span? Hell, how about a four-minute power play the Leafs got because of a high sticking call still could not convert one goal on it? And even still, you look at over the air side and say, well, look at the slash in Game 7 that Nyes apparently did. It is what it is. One ref saw it one way, one ref saw it the other way. It's an interpretation call. They talked about it, but there were calls that went for the Leafs as well. There should have been a penalty on Holmberg against Lorai when he slammed him into the glass. That's called 9 times out of 10. The Leafs got away with one there. Boston got away with one here. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is when the Maple Leafs had an opportunity on the power play, they did not score, and that boils down to coaching. Figuring out how to get guys away from certain matchups or get somebody on that unit that can do what you need them to do. But that comes down to the coaching on the power play. And that is something we'll talk about here when we talk about the Keith umbrella here in a few moments. The other part for me, this series was mirrored by a lot of players' health. And a lot of things seemed weird. You had Timothy Liljegren, who was out of the lineup. Sheldon Keefe said he was dealing with something, wasn't 100%. Timothy Liljegren comes back, says, I don't know what he's talking about. I've been 100%. What is he talking about? Don't know, but I'm here. I'm ready. I'm ready to go, 100% ready to play. So that, to me, is a miscommunication between player and coach or player and medical staff or medical staff and coach. Something there isn't right. Because if the coach is coming out and saying a player isn't readily available because they're dealing with something, but then the player comes out and says, I'm fine. It could be just the player trying to play it up to make sure that there's no extra wax, hash, slashes, you know, the way that goes when you got an injury. That could be the reason right there. But then I look across the line and I say this one, Austin Matthews held out of a couple of games because of a mystery ailment. Came out that it may be a concussion suffered in game 80. Okay, so why did you let him play 81 and 82? Just because he was chasing 70 goals? This is the most important part of your season. Why do you care about individual records that much that you'd risk a guy who has concussion-like symptoms if that's what he was dealing with? But it lines up for a lot of what you're thinking of. If you're talking about a guy, when we talk about concussions and players having them, here's what happens. Okay, players with concussions, we see them ramp it up, dial it back, ramp it up, dial it back, ramp it up, dial it back. And why? Because their body is letting them know where they are and what is going on with their system. And when you have a concussion and when you ramp it up, your body goes into that mode where you feel sick, you feel dizzy, you feel like throwing up, you can't push harder, and you have to dial it back down and then dial it back up again to see where your body is at. Repetitively, and it seemed like that's what Matthews was doing. And what they said was Austin Matthews felt sick as he went along in this series. So if you're talking about a concussion-like symptom, it fits the bill. The not feeling well, the fatigue, the injury factor where your head's not in it, you can't feel that great. And then he comes back, probably still not 100%, but wanted to be a part of Game 7. Okay. Then you got William Nylander dealing with migraines, which is something that was documented last year about him, and that is why he's wearing the tinted visor. So I look at William Nylander and say, okay, what was the reason for the migraines for him? Was it another concussion issue? Was it an issue where he's just been dealing with this all season and it ramped up here with the pressure of the playoffs. As a person who personally deals with migraines, I know how debilitating they can be. Couldn't imagine playing a National Hockey League game, let alone being in the room at work when I used to work at a place where we delivered cylinders. The noises, the lights, the pressure, everything, dealt with all that in your head. It just makes you want to explode. You need a dark room. You need quiet. For me, two Advil, hot shower, and I pass out. If I don't get to that point, I black out. So I can only imagine ramping that up to be an NHL player and being out of it. So William Nylander with the I'll say concussion-like symptoms, I guess, because the migraines are a thing for him. Don't know where they came from, if they're just something that he deals with on the regular basis. If he does, I don't wish those on my worst enemy. But the communication between the Leafs medical staff and players, this series seemed a little different than it's ever been. Usually we laud the Leafs medical staff for getting guys back and ready and set and in their ways, whether it's a goaltender coming back from an injury, whether it's a defenseman coming back from shot blocking shots, whether it's broken digits, they always find a way to get these guys to where they need to be. But this series, it did not seem that way. And I don't know if these injuries were just so truncated that they were trying to get guys back because of where it was. But nonetheless, I look at it like this and say, Sheldon Keefe, my man, I've gone to bat for this guy so many times over the past few years. You sat up at a podium and you basically said the other team outcoached you in how to use your own players and how to set up your own systems and how to run your own team. You sat there and said this. Why would you say something like that? Do you know how stupid that makes you sound to everyone? That you can't employ your own systems because another coach is doing something to make the Maple Leafs beat themselves? Come on. I mean, there is incompetence, and then there is you shouldn't be behind the bench. And I know a lot of people in the comments will come after me for this one and laugh and say, what does this guy know? What a hack. Listen, if you're Sheldon Keefe, Austin Matthews is available to you. It's a tempting thing, but you are in that room. You were around that team. You know what he is dealing with. And I know a lot of people will say, well, the William Nylander goal does not happen if Austin Matthews is not in that game. I say, nay, nay, I think it does. This team is pushing and building and going without Austin. Do you need Austin for round two? Of course you do. If you get there, of course you do. But for game seven, I would have left him out because you don't know what percentage he is at. And you can say, well, it's game seven, all hands on deck. Well, if all hands on deck means 40% Austin Matthews or 90% Nick Robertson or 70 to 80% Ryan Reeves or whoever, pick your guy. It doesn't matter. I take that guy over Austin Matthews just because he's not himself. He's not 100%. He's not ready to rock and roll. And that's on Sheldon Keefe to manage that lineup. It's also on Sheldon Keefe to not go back to old damn habits. Leave Austin Matthews on that third line. Let that line build a little chemistry and get some things going in that game where Austin will be away from the top defenders of the Bruins. Allow the first line, the de facto one, to go do its thing with Domi. Allow the second line with John Tavares to go run amok and do what it needs to do. Why are you not doing those things? Why do you have to revert back? Because you want to get a goal? Cool. That's what we all want to see. But at the same time, you're breaking up and dividing what has worked the past two games to get you where you need to be in the position of game seven. And you go back to these things that, hey, guess what? Have not worked in the playoffs this season. They just didn't work. So why in the hell are you going back to them? Especially the Austin Matthews thing is mind-boggling to me. But you look at the lineups that had success in Game 6 and Game 5. Why would you not keep that for Game 7 and say, Austin, when we're ready for you for the next round, when we get this job done, you'll be feeling great. We'll be back at it. We can get rolling. Let's go. That's on Sheldon Keefe. A lot of things are. The power play, for instance. Put the right personnel in there. I know you want Guy Boucher to run this thing, but at the same time, if you know Tyler Bertuzzi's rolling, you look at your power play coach and you say, put this guy on there. You're the head coach. Get it done. Figure it out. Matchup. Move guys away from matchups. Put guys down on the fourth line. Switch things around. Swing guys through. It's what good teams do. It's what Mr. Montgomery did against you. He switched it up to make sure this team got clicking. He divided his best players amongst two power play units because it wasn't working. Holy smokes, eye opener. Figure it out. It's not the big galaxy brain thing it needs to be. You got guys that are rolling. Hello, Max Domi. That guy should be rolling with some of the best players and figure it out. I don't understand why Sheldon Keefe, every single playoffs, can't make the simple adjustments or just leave things well enough alone to get it done. I'm sorry to say this, Sheldon Keefe, and I know I've had a couple interactions with you over the past, but you're done in my books. You cannot be the coach of the Maple Leafs. We cannot keep burning through prime years of Austin Matthews. That is something I don't want to see. I want to see this team win something. I don't think Sheldon Keefe is the man to do it. I don't think Brendan Shanahan is the man upstairs to execute the plan anymore. He scorched the earth, great, but now there needs to be someone to take that ball, Masai Ujiri style, and get the job done. And Brad Treliving, I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, but he just took over. He took over a team with minimal time to plan, minimal time to figure out free agency for this squad. And he was able to take this team and still make them a 100-plus point team, get them into the playoffs, and figure out what you do. And most could say a donkey could have done that because of the players on this team. But he did make some okay signings. A couple took a while to get going, but they did not do it in the playoffs. So for me, Shanny, you're gone. Keefe, you're gone. Treliving can stay. I'm wearing a Pizza Planet shirt. I think he can deliver this to the Maple Leafs faithful this offseason with the moves that he makes. Also, Easton Cowan, Frazier Minton. I know you're like, James, you're talking about young kids. They look like they could be key pieces to this team. Young, cheap contracts allowing you to spend on the back end. I'd bring back Labushkin if it's cheap. I'd bring back Edmundston if it's cheap as well. Both of those players are players I'd like to see with Morgan Riley and Mr. Simone Benoit. Everybody else can go, and even if Labushkin did walk, that's okay for me. But, you know, I look at it like this and say a guy like Mitch Marner, we all love Mitch. We love the energy. We love the pop. We love what he brings to this team. We love the fact that Mitch Marner really can be the stick that stirs the drink in the regular season. But when it comes to the postseason, he's not that guy. He's just not that guy. The physicality gets the best of him. The pressure gets the best of him. We've seen it against him and Nylander. Nylander basically telling him to suck it the F up and figure it out in better words than I just used. But to me, Mitch Marner, you look at teams that have made moves to go further. Tampa, hello, JT Miller, see you later. You look at, again, Huberdeau, hello. The Florida Panthers are in round two, went to the cup final last year. I'm not saying big moves are the only moves, but this is a move I think the Leafs need to look at and say, hey, are we better without Mitch Marner in our lineup, being able to augment our D, maybe our goaltending, maybe add a forward with a little bit more oomph and pop and circumstance up front that does it in the playoffs for you? I don't know. But I say this, I think Mitch Marner needs a change of scenery. I don't think the playoffs in Toronto are his bread and butter. I think he would do better on probably a quiet Western market in the Western Conference for a team that can maybe go on a run, do some things. But in Toronto, I think it's too much for him. And I know a lot of people will say, well, he's got the no movement clause. You're going to get pennies on the dollar for him because his value is low because of the playoff performance. This guy's still a perennial, close to 100-point player in the regular season. This guy is money. Maybe you put him on a team. And I'll use a name here. Phil Kessel was the guy in Toronto, was not needed to be the guy in Pittsburgh. We all know what happened there. Phil Kessel rocking the rings. So maybe Mitch Marner goes somewhere where he doesn't have to be the exact focal point where everything runs through him on an offense, and he goes somewhere and flourishes there. And the pieces that come back, maybe the Leafs can augment their lineup enough to do things and make it better. Who'd I bring back? Like I said, I'd bring back Edmundston. I'd bring back Domi. I'd bring back Labushkin if the price is right. I would bring back Connor Dewar. He's a good penalty killer. I'd like to cut bait on David Kampf. His faceoff numbers were not what you expect from him this season. But we do have young guys coming. Like I said, Easton Cowan, MVP of the OHL. Hello. Looks like this guy might be a little something-something. Maybe a little cowboy in the lineup will help out the Maple Leafs. Frazier Mitten, I definitely think his leadership caliber skills will be good. But if you look at it like this and run it, Austin Matthews, Max Domi as your 2C. I know everybody's eyes just went up. Matthews, Domi, Tavares on his last year of his deal. You know he's going to re-up for a lower contract to stick around with the Maple Leafs. This is home. This is where he's staying. He's not going anywhere. So his deal will be a better one on the next one for the Maple Leafs. But then you start looking at what you can add around them. I'm a big proponent of this. We know what you get out of the Matthews, the Marners, the Nylanders, the Rileys, the Tavareses. So you have to insulate them with the right type of players. And I think Treliving did that with Domi this year, a guy who can really hang with Austin Matthews, which is great because that frees up Mitch Marner to play on a different line. Or if Marner's not here, it makes Marner expendable, to be honest with you. And if you can sign Max Domi to a cheaper deal, boom, you got it. Slam dunk. Make it happen. But as far as this summer, guys, I think we got a long way to go. We start looking and seeing what's out there. Start looking and seeing what deals can be made. Start trying to figure out exactly where the Maple Leafs will be. We're going to learn a whole lot tomorrow. We're going to learn a whole lot on Thursday of who will be here, who won't be here, and what the Maple Leafs will start to shape up to look like next year. One thing you can guarantee, you can bet your bottom dollar, William Nylander, John Tavares, Morgan Rielly, Austin Matthews, Matthew Nyes will be back with this squad for next season. And in net, I do believe Joel Wool is the future. I do believe this kid can be exactly as he was advertised here in the playoffs for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think they bring either Jones or maybe even Samsonov back as the backup. Because we all now know that Samsonov, yes, he held us in there. Yes, he only allowed 2 goals. But that play last night with Pastrnak, I think Joel Wool would have did something to disrupt that the path of the puck. Would have got out there, would have figured something out, seeing past the coming. I do think that Samsonov froze in the moment and the cost of Leafs to game 7. But Leafs Nation, I want to say this. I've been off for a little bit. There's been some things that went on. My dog passed away. That really put a damper on me. I started a new job, just doing different things. So it hasn't been the same schedule for me to get back to this. So once a week, I will be on this machine talking to you about the Maple Leafs, having a guest, talking about whatever is going on in the current of the NHL. And you know the guests that we have them from everywhere, whether it's the NHL, whether it's ESPN, TSN, Sportsnet, you name it, we have them on this show and we talk about what we want to talk about. So we will keep that coming to you. Thank you to our friends, the Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you to DraftKings for helping us out throughout the season. Make sure you use the promo code THPN over on DraftKings. $5 gets you $200 in instant bonus bets. You can check it out. And of course, our friends over at Boxing Rock Brewing Co. We re-upped with them this April. So happy to have them back on board. Our friends over here, and we'll see soon, FE Apparel. Really looking forward to doing that video for you guys and pumping that out. And everyone else who's worked with Offside Hockey Talk this season, Puck and Glass, we see you. Got you right here. Tons of people that help the machine work here at Offside. And I want to say thank you to Clark Monroe and my boy D4, Dylan Fournier, that have been on with me many, many times this season. But hey, the Leaf season is done, but Offside Hockey Talk, you know the motto, Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey come to talk.